see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. You know, really, oh, for those joining us, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm getting so used to doing this that I've assumed that the regular listeners are the only ones coming back. So I introduce myself, because sometimes I guess that we could have new folks come in. I would hope so. I want to talk about tonight some things that I don't know if y'all been hearing before. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to get down some detail about the supernatural realm. A little of the physics and the biology of it. To defeat your enemy, you must know your enemy. And I also know that there's a thin line between the so-called exposing the enemy and exposing the enemy and reproving and rebuking them. It's very tricky. It's very, very tricky how the controlled opposition that pretend to be on your side say, I'm exposing the enemy. I'm exposing the New World Order. I'm exposing New Age movement. I'm exposing the demonic realm and so forth. Okay. Well, exposing it, family, would be also showing you how to defeat them. But the thin line I speak of is a trick that they use. The trick is, I'm exposing the enemy. I'm exposing New World Order. Well, no, what they end up doing is teaching you the New Age movement. I'm a whistleblower from whatever, Wiccan, Coven, I come out of it. I'm exposing them. No, what they're doing is teaching them. So look for the teaching plus the rebuking and the correction and how to defeat them and taking it to the uttermost limit. And start naming names. Start identifying who they are exactly. And that's where you take your study to the... The Bible tells you about everything you need to know. It's in the King James Bible. And there's going to be a concerted effort to reduce the effectiveness of the King James Bible as far as any kind of influence, credibility, and so forth. They're going to find fossils. They're going to find a tooth. Oh, this tooth right here proves that mankind's forebears, they come up with a tooth or a nose bone or something, or some document or scroll that they discovered in some deep, dark cavern or cave all of a sudden. Or now they're looking for Apostle Phillips. They said they found possibly, always the possibly, Apostle Phillips' grave. A parchment that says that Jesus married. Oh, they just go on and on and on. And if they did find Apostle Phillips' grave, so what? So what? What difference does it make? It makes no difference at all. Got nothing to do about nothing, because Philip would be in heaven then, wouldn't he? All he's left behind is a tomb, whatever. It doesn't matter. Who are we focused on? Jesus, that's who. Because he's alive. Philip's dead. Spiritually, he may be with heaven, but that's not our business. That's his business with Jesus. Not our business, man. Not our business. Our business with the living. They got us kind of focused other places. They're looking for proof, I guess. I guess that proof thing comes in. Proof of what? When you know he's there, who needs proof? I guess people do. Thomas did. I won't believe until I see the holes in his hands, his feet, slit in his side. They came to him. Thomas, we saw him. He came here. No, I don't believe it. But we saw him. I don't believe it. Thomas was the most stubborn one. Okay. Anyway, so Jesus had to appear to himself the second time to the apostles, to Thomas, and Thomas, one of the scriptures used to prove that Jesus Christ was God, he said, "My Lord, my God." And he said, and Jesus said back to him, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." What does that strike you as? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So why would Jesus be appearing to people today? Kids or no kids. Maybe angels. But this thing about people dying and going to heaven, and or they're dying and have Jesus, like I've heard some of the talk show hosts that said that they had Jesus to come to their bedroom and talk to them. And ride in their car. I kid you not. Allegedly credible talk show host said that Jesus appeared to him in his bedroom regularly when he's younger. Say what? Really? That would make that talk show host an apostle, like Paul. Then that would mean that they would support the true word of God, or expose the Vatican, or not go against the King James like this one particular one does. So that brings up a question. My question is, say what? Because Jesus wouldn't give them that credibility if he knows in their heart they're going to reject his holy word. So then it begs the question, who did you see? Was it the Jesus we think we see in the photographs and the movies and who we think Jesus is, long hair, blue-eyed, blonde hair, blue-eyed? Because that's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We have assumed that the photos and the portraits and the black velvet that we see, the one holding the lamb or the stained glass or whatever, the long hair, the blonde and the Caucasian-looking Jesus. Who said that was Jesus in the first place? Because nobody's ever seen Jesus. Number two, where'd Jesus come from in the first place? And never left over 100 miles of it. Was Jerusalem. Where's Jerusalem? In the Middle East. And the basic cultural DNA structures of the Middle East is bronze skin. Not black, not white. Not Oriental. But more Middle Easterner. Adjacent to that is more the North American continent. Indian. Mexican. Looking bronze body structure. And since Jesus Christ was a Jew, in fact, trace all his bloodline all the way up to Abraham, Jacob and Isaac. Abraham was the father of the first Jew due to the Abrahamic covenant. And then Abraham, you can trace him all the way back to Adam and Eve through Moses and Noah. And the bloodline all the way to Seth and Seth to Adam and Eve. But the DNA didn't start really changing around until about Nimrod. Jesus Christ was in the bloodline of Shem. I'm sorry. Yes, Shem. Not Japheth, not Ham. Ham went south. Black. Japheth went north. White folk and Oriental. Wait a minute, Oriental? Uh-huh. Because you see, when you go north, the skin, color, DNA, pigment turns whiter. Then when those cultures that became Oriental are more toward the east. And they're all Oriental. Why didn't have Oriental in, why not in Africa? Why not in the Middle East? Why not Oriental Middle Easterners? You ever think, what about that? How come people don't ask those questions? Why don't you have a polar bear living in Africa? Why not? Why do certain animals live in certain areas and plants as well? How about that? Think about it for a minute. Well, you see, on the earth, you have ley lines, like a web of meridians, ley lines, power points that converge, and they're power structures. Certain degrees and hertz of electromagnetic energy are different at each ley line. And also, the effect is on DNA. It's different. The language that people spoke, because God changed the languages in Babel, he changed the language of the people. And whether at the very moment he broke down the Tower of Babel, changed the languages, which is in the Bible, and instantly, which God could have done easily, and that would certainly have caused confusion, changed the languages, which it did, and then changed the bodies supernaturally, which he could have easily done. Now, that would have certainly have caused for some depends to be worn if that happened before your eyes, which it could have. But if it just changed the languages, those speaking a certain language that the other one understood and getting away from those that didn't in a panic would consolidate with those that could speak the same language, would they not? And would they not want to get out of there, which they did? But Jeff had already was positioned Shem was positioned and Ham was positioned. And at some point in time, during the generations, it looked like by being in different locations on the globe, that it changed the body structure and DNA over the generations. Now, that is speculation. Whether God did it instantly at the changing of languages or over a period of time, doesn't say in the Bible. But what does say in the Bible, that after Noah, three sons, three wives, one wife for Noah, of course, four wives, I guess, and three generations to Nimrod, Ham, Cush, Nimrod, Tower of Babel, they're all one language. One language, the Bible tells you, one language, one culture. Doesn't say anywhere, or even doesn't mean make sense biologically, scientifically, that Noah would have an Oriental son, a Caucasian son, and a Middle Easterner son. Now that's some moving around DNA, don't you think? Wow, what happened there? There's only eight people came off. Wife, where you been? How'd that happen? Well, it didn't. They're all one culture, one language. For ten generations. I'm sorry, my mistake. Three generations, same language. Three generations. Then Nimrod, they changed the languages. People panicked, tribes took off. Interesting. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast before I get started here. Tonight, creation, continuing, we're going to talk about the demonic realm. And I know for some people it's kind of scary. But people are running across the demonic realm right now. And by scientific method, scientific invention, and knowledge coming from the fallen angels to mankind, mankind has developed inventions, techniques, methods, science that now synthesizes, makes synthetic demonic intervention. In addition to demons that already are harassing man. Now they've added scientific inventions to it, manipulating ELF transmission, ELF magnetic energy, to operate in the same way that demons would. So you got both to dealing with, using electronics, ELF transmission, HARP, mind manipulation, all kinds of things. I'm going to break that down the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, a little bit more detail. And we'll talk about methods to deal with it. Lord, we thank you tonight for bringing us together for a Bible study. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible. And most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we call upon you tonight, and from now on, Lord, we call upon you every day to cover us with the blood of Jesus. Protect us, Father, as we learn, we study, we research, we practice. Father, give us opportunities. Give us that wisdom discernment to find ways to witness to others, to cover us with the blood of Jesus, to protect us from the mind control and the methods and techniques of technology that's keeping us contained and occupied, that, Father, you'll open our minds, protect us from this outside influence. Father, by our influences that we touch those around us. And, Father, that where we are, we speak the name of God, that, Father, you'll bring the Holy Spirit and you'll connect with those we talk to. So, Father, they'll seek the true word of God and become born again. But, Lord, protect us and keep us on the right path with your with conviction. Your word, your Holy Spirit's intervention. Father, it gives us that wisdom, discernment to see through the deception. And Father, give us the courage to speak, the opportunity to do so. We pray for our family members, Lord, those that's been affected by these drugs, by the vaccines, all these things that they've been putting in their bodies, Lord, to give them the faith, give them the strength, that, Father, they can beat this with the supernatural means through the Holy Spirit. Father, to lift up your clergy, your church leaders, that, Father, they'll get away from the theology of the emerging church and seek the true word of God in the King James Bible. And preaching repentance and preaching the true word, that, Lord, that there'll be a sweeping spiritualization of conversion to Jesus Christ. Father, that's why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, what they've done is they've given us philosophy, logic in the classes in school. I took logic course of logic. God, what a boring course. Goodness gracious. Oh, it was boring. Logic. I'm like, what is this logic? And philosophy expands your mind. If you have trouble with it, we got some drugs for you to help you along the way. Religion. You know, they've got it so entwined into our culture that if you witness anything about God, oh, you're religious, aren't you? Well, religion isn't about God. Religion is about a false philosophy. Religion encompasses how many different kinds of doctrine? How many gods do you think we have? Yeah, one. So religion was designed to lead you away from Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Even in Christianity, where did Christianity come from? Constantine. Before Constantine, you didn't have Christianity. You had Christians who loved Jesus Christ, had scripture, but they didn't call it Christianity. They called themselves a Christian. So when you call it Christianity, you've created a doctrine. So then it took Christianity, and divide up like a wood chipper. Just pick and choose what religion you want. What type of Christianity you want today? What flavor do you want? What do you want to believe in Christianity? You want to get rid of hell for a while? Okay. That's right. Almost forgot. Where's that article at? Found an article. Oh, the Pope. That Pope, I tell you, that boy is worse than Dennis the Menace. He's getting all kinds of trouble, man. He says there's no hell. Where's that article at? I got an article somewhere here. He's making some changes. Lord, he's making some changes. How come the Catholics don't speak up? I know it's a dumb question, but I had to ask it anyway. He is changing. Family, I've mentioned this half a dozen times or more. There's going to be a re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church.
It's always been planned. It's covered in the Illuminati handbook. Literally, I got one called Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz. And he confirms that this book is not well known among Gentiles and Jews and others because they have to have their own textbooks. They don't go around saying, well, this is a textbook for the Illuminati. But they have them. And if you get your hands on one, it tells you what they're going to be up to. Some of those are Atlas Shrugged, Morals and Dogma, Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz, half a dozen others that they teach their little pagan children the ways of the world of Illuminati in ways that people don't see it. Sometimes I try to multitask, and I try to keep things straight, but there's so much that I want to pass on to you all that, you know, a lot of my knowledge, I just tell you one way that happens, is I get these thoughts and inspirations or things in my head, and I think, oh, no way. And that Holy Spirit inside of me say, yeah, way. So I go search for it. He leads me to where I know that when I present something on the air, that people are not necessarily going to say, well, who's this guy, Tom? He's crazy. So what I do is I get the inspiration and I search for a secular backing for myself to find it. He shows me. The 29th of December, 2013, there is no hell fire. Adam and Eve, not real. Pope Francis exposes. Family, this can't be real. Some of the beliefs are held in the church, but contrary in the loving nature of God are now being set aside by the Pope, well, who recently named the Man of the Year by Time Magazine. Pope Francis said, I quote, oh, man. It's a quote. Through humility, soul searching, and prayerful contemplation, we have gained a new understanding of certain dogmas. The church no longer believes in a literal hell where people suffer. This doctrine is incompatible with the infinite love of God. God is not a judge, but a friend and lover of humanity. God seeks not to condemn, but to embrace. Like the fable. Is that F-A-B-L-E? Yep, that spells fable. Of Adam and Eve, we see hell as a literary device. Hell is merely a metaphor for the isolated soul, which, like all souls, ultimately will be united in love with God. Unquote. Oh, boy. The fires of hell are getting hotter. I tell you, family, that's a slap in God's face. That's a slap in God's face. And you know, that is exactly, slowly, just like water heating up, that's exactly the way the New Age movement is headed. And slowly but surely, and I didn't say surely, I said slowly but surely, that's where the Catholic Church is headed. Slowly but surely toward the New Age movement system of belief. Would it happen to be a coincidence that Teilhard de Chardin was a Jesuit priest? He was also the father of the New Age movement. Catholics. And you know that love, true love of God, hates evil and any sin. And it says in Daniel 12:2, this is clear as a bell. Daniel don't mince words. In Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, there's nothing there that says it's temporary. So, does hell actually serve a purpose for God? Why would a loving God create a hell? Well, you remove it from the Bible. At the same time, you remove any notion of a just God and a trustworthy scripture. If there is no hell, God is not just. If there is no punishment of sin, heaven is apathetic toward the rapists and the pillagers and mass murderers of society. If there is no hell, God is then blind toward the victims and has turned his back on those who pray for relief. If there is no wrath toward evil, then God is not love. For love hates that which is evil. To say there is no hell is also to say God is a liar and his scripture is untrue. And you know, the Bible repeatedly and stoutly affirms the dualistic outcome of history. Some will be saved and some will be lost when Christ comes. To say that there's no hell, then what about Satan and his demons in Matthew 25:41? Is that a lie too? Does he forgive the aliens? Oh, there's no aliens. But the Pope thinks there is. Billy Graham thinks there is. Remind me tomorrow to talk about if there is worldwide discovered aliens among us, how will that affect religion, Christianity, belief in God? I have an answer for that. I will share. In Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Yep, that's pretty clear. He just didn't write that down there so we could just read it and say, oh, that's terrible. Okay, what's the next verse? He's telling us what's going to happen. And the Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What about those that follow Satan? Then what? Well, guess what? He's going to answer for them too. And y'all get mad at me if you want, but I'm just reading your scripture. I didn't make it up. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. before that one, 1340. And therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall be at the end of this world. Family's talking about Armageddon. There's those out there, listen. They tell you that the wicked will be removed first. Uh-huh. If that's the case, what happened to tribulations and judgment? Matthew 13:38. The field is the world, the good seed of the children of the kingdom, the tares of the children of the wicked one. I must mention these ones like Jonathan Click and these others that are New Age, Illuminati, Luciferians. You must know them. That the tares, they're saying, are just the hybrids of the fallen angels and man. Everybody else is not. It's wheat. The tares are the ones that's going to hell, not humankind. Well, Matthew 13:38 says otherwise. Children of the kingdom are those except Jesus. The tares are the children of the wicked one that's followed Satan. Got nothing to do with DNA. Matthew 13:39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Family, it tells you right there. The end of the world, as you know it, is Armageddon. Matthew 13:40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. And it tells you in 13:41. Oh, and 42. I'm going on more. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Matthew 13:42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then he seals it with 13:43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again he warns. I can go on and on. This is so much. And Jesus warns us about hell. He warns us about the demons. He wants us to know so you don't go there. They don't want you to know because they want you to go there. Man, I got a problem with that. A serious problem. The more I think about this, just... it's a mind-boggling. I'm not a theologian, but I can read. How come they can't read? How easy is that? Well, let's see what this says. Now you get a difference, kind of an idea, by their own words. In a second. Sometimes I put things together as I go along. Holy Spirit gets a hold of me and starts putting things in my head, and here we go. All right. Now you tell me here.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
233 degree Masons.
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely
is. So what am I missing here? Those are two 33rd degree Masons. Been around since before I was probably born. And I'm an old fella. Well, actually, that's true. Anyway, what's going on? Family, what's happening? Do we see setting up the falling away of the church? It's not going to be no party, I tell you that. Family, got to get strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. It kind of boggles my mind a little bit because it's completely opposite what the scriptures are saying, what they talk about. And these are high-level theologians that generations that your mother or your grandmother have known, and all of a sudden they're all changing to the same direction, the same pathway that there's a wideness in God's mercy, but that's not true. Only for those accept Him when they repent of their sins is where it's at. Now, well, here you go. It falls in place. Matthew, it's amazing how God puts things in your face. It's, wow. Anyway, Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In the gospel of repentance, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Sometimes you examine your own study, your own worship, your search for truth, and you ask yourself, have I cut short the gospel Jesus has preached? The gospel of repentance. Have I essentially taken scissors to my Bible, like Origen did back in the 4th century, the second Bible that was ever written? Only two ever been written, by the way. And remove the higher cost of following Jesus Christ? You ask yourself, have you lowered His standard by telling people to just believe and be saved? There is something to be said that when you go to church, and I sit there and nod your head up and down when a preacher says something, and oh yeah, like a dipping duck, you know, yeah, here comes a plate. Oh, $10. See, look what I'm throwing in the plate. There you go. Y'all see that? Okay. There it goes. All right. And you sometimes do a show and you go up in the front and you kneel down a little bit and you come back. Anybody back there with your heads down and eyes closed, raise your right hand. If you want to be saved, you think you need to know God, raise your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand, put it down. See your hand, put it down. Do they really think they're saved when they do that? Is that as far as they go? Certainly, if I sit here on Facebook, for example, and it's one of the most mind-controlling CIA operations I've ever seen. And there's certainly something to be said that someone was talking about this afternoon, that people just come to the internet and sit there, and granted, I throw some nice little sayings up there. And, okay, God, you see that? You see that? Everybody read it? Okay. Okay, that's good. Well, no. What else are you doing? You praying? Fasting? Are you witness to other people at work? Or after work? Or you giving money to the poor that come up to you and you're like, who are you? Get away from me.
Yeah, get away. Shoo.
That's your test. You never know when an angel is going to come up to you in a physical body. Oh, they're there. They're there. Entertain strangers unaware. You know that one. I'd say, too, Genesis 6:4, sons of God to the daughters of man created giants. They came into them. Now, when you have birds and the bees, man and woman together, whether it's a fallen angel in a physical form or whatever, when they get together and they do that little sexual exchange, you understand what I mean, right? It's called the birds and the bees, and produces a baby, a mighty big one, actually. I'd say it's pretty physical. When you got an angel coming, two of them, and not ninja angel like they had in that stupid movie, but the real angels that went to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah and sat down to eat, I'd say it's pretty physical, too. And then the men outside said, hey, we want to entertain those angels. They're good looking. That's pretty physical. And when you got in the Old Testament, 185,000 Assyrians killed in one night by one angel, that's pretty physical, I'd say. Now, I can't imagine what that happened there. I'd like to be a little fly on the log there, but to see, I'd seen that. Well, no, I guess I wouldn't have. I don't know. Never mind. Forget I said that. But anyway, that's got to be pretty physical. In heaven, no, they don't marry. It's supernatural, spiritual. But on earth, when they take a physical form, and we're getting to it here now in a minute, manifesting and interchanging with mankind. Oh, now we're getting there. But if we cut short the genuine conviction for sins by music, drugs, videotape, videos, whatever, something to cover up our own sin, I know I did. I feel bad. I said, I'm going to church. I got to go to church. Going to church? Okay, well, fine. But you sit there, but don't think you're saved because you sit there and listen to somebody else. Or I throw some things up on the internet that I've done my duty, and there it is. What have you done inside your heart? Have you really got on your knees and cried your eyes out because you sinned? Did you give your last $5 to somebody that came up to you? Because God's going to know that you got one left $10 bill because you had went to the ATM. He's going to have somebody come up to you. You know that. I know. Oh, I know this now. I ain't going to go into it, but it happens. I'm going to tell you right now. And that Holy Spirit's going to say, come on now. Come on. Give me your last $10 bill. Go on. Or whatever, you know, the test, whatever it is. Or stop to help somebody or whatever it is. He's going to test you. Help you through temptation. He doesn't tempt you. He allows Satan to tempt you. God don't tempt you. He gives you trials, testings. It's what you're here for. You're in training. If we jumped in, offered salvation to those who not actually repented, haven't sorrowed over their trespasses, who have sought faith so they could merely hide their lust behind it, and we constantly hear exaggerations about the number of people who come to Jesus through various ministries. Christians report that scores of people were saved as they preached in prisons and schools and venues of other kind. They say everybody in the place gave his heart to Jesus. When I finished preaching, they all came forward for salvation. Yeah, we saved 526. You ever heard that before? We've been keeping track. keep a track of them. Got one saved. Put it down there where? Yeah, Excel. You got a little clicker there? I've saved 226 people. Who cares? You keeping track, keep a number. What's that for, ego? Sometimes you'll witness to someone and they'll say, man, you're crazy. Get away. That's okay. Holy Spirit's got them now. If Johnny Appleseed, do you ever exist, really? Anyway, Johnny Appleseed said, I'm going to plant an orchard. He drops the seed down. Okay. Well, Johnny, you going to keep going? No. I'm going to wait till this one grows, and I'm going to keep, then we'll do the next one. He's never going to get an orchard done. Drop the seed, let the water water it and grow it. God will take care of it. But at least you drop the seed. You sound the alarm. You drop the seed. At least you did that. That's doing something now. But granted, putting stuff up on the internet, that's okay. You can do that. Don't say just don't do it. But don't put everything just on that only. That's the point. Is do more than just, don't be just satisfied with sitting there for an hour in church. Whew, I'm glad I got that over with. God, did you see me there? Did you take note? No, do more. That's what it's all about. Satan tries to placate us. All too often, what actually happens is that everyone simply repeats a prayer, and they merely pray what they've been told to pray, and many don't even grasp what they're saying. Then most go back to their heathen ways. Remind me again that I'm going to cover it tomorrow, that how to know you're saved. Are you saved? I don't know. I hope so. You hope so? I hope so. Uh-huh. If you were the jump master, calling the paratroopers to jump out of the plane, and he's asking, you pack your chute? Yeah. You pack your chute? Yeah. You pack your chute? I don't know. You don't know? No, I guess. I wouldn't be jumping out of no plane. You understand? Did you pack your parachute right? I hope I did. Yeah, I wouldn't be jumping. If you jump, you better have a good life insurance policy. You better know. Because family, when you come before the throne, it's too late to say, well, Lord, you see what I did when I was on earth and all that? You see what I did? I did 10 little old ladies across the street. I did 4 or 5 money exchanges there. How about that? I helped these guys over here. It's over. He already knows. And if you're at the great white throne judgment, you're already going to hell. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ with everybody else, you're already in heaven. It's already done when you're dead, when you die. When you've died, that's determination. It's done. You're going one or the other. There's no in the middle ground. There's no waiting around for 3-4 days at Starbucks to haunt it for a while or whatever that you can decide where you're going to go or something like that. No waiting room. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. The body's going to the ground. And later, at the judgment seat of Christ, body comes up and comes back to you. At the great white throne judgment, at the end of the 1,000 years, then the body joins up with the soul. That's already been in hell for 1,000 years from the day you died. This is supernatural. Did you get all that? I hope so, because I couldn't repeat that ever again. Holy Spirit's moving in his family. He's moving. He's touching people. Satan's going to start interrupting people, too. Be ready for it. Be strong. The church has even taken the feeling out of conviction. Think about it for a minute. Do you ever see tears on the cheeks of those who have been saved anymore? Really? Tears don't save people. But God made us all human. David Wilkerson was one of the last great preachers that was murdered. Oh, I'm sorry, that slip. Look at his death. You'll find very unusual. What you won't find unusual in his life is he didn't cow down like all the rest of them have. He stood his ground like Ravenworth and others. There's several others around there, but they're getting few and far between. David Wilkerson wouldn't bow down to these people at the CFR, at the associations, Federal Council, National Council of Churches, and all these satanic organizations. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. No doubt about that. Any hell-bound sinner who's been moved upon by the Holy Spirit feels a profound sorrow over the ways he's grieved the Lord. It's innate. When they feel this, they go to, man, I gotta have another hit. Because that conviction is eating them up. The conviction is because God loves them. You see? Otherwise, he wouldn't bother. And there are some that he won't bother with, called a reprobate mind. It doesn't bother them to sin at all. Matter of fact, they enjoy it. You better start worrying when there's no change. When you become born again, there's no change. You better start worrying. Just saying the words won't get it. You know, Apostle Peter felt that kind of godly sorrow when he denied knowing Jesus. He's flooded with the memory of what Jesus had told him. Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." When he thought thereon, he wept. What happened to Judas, man? What happened to Judas? He hung himself. David Wilkerson was powerful. He was real, unlike what you got today that's left. Hagee and all these rest, no, they're secret society members. They got off-the-wall, non-scriptural books of their own design, blood moons, all this other nonsense. 3 days of darkness, no such thing in the scripture. There's no 3 days of darkness in the Bible. If it is, somebody send me the scripture. I'm all ears. Secret societies is the synagogue of Satan. In the demonic realm, is it already 8:30? Goodness gracious. What the time? What happened? Whoa. It's 8:30. Amazing how time is relative. There's 7 principalities of Satan. You know, we always hear that, don't we? Principalities, powers of darkness. I always wonder what in the world that meant. What are the principalities? Now, last night we talked about the three heavens. There's no 7 heavens. There's 3. Now, you can refer back to the lesson last night or the Bible study last night for what they are exactly. And we come upon the 7 principalities. Satan a supernatural power, power over and above the earth. Whatever he wants to do, he can do, provided God does not step in to prevent it. He and his minions and human servants must tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Because all God's prophets tell you what's coming before it comes. So he requires that of also of Satan and his minions. Your Nostradamuses and Edgar Cayces and Gene Dixons and Campings and all these others with false prophecy. Different sects, religions, and all this. Satan tries to confuse. He copies everything. You can see through it with discernment and wisdom. Satan's supernatural power is that Satan and his demons do exist, so much so that the Wicca, witchcraft, alchemy, is in secret projects with the Pentagon. Michael Aquino, you heard earlier today, confirms he was with the Pentagon in MKUltra. I played that. I wasn't planning on it. There's a lot of things I do I don't plan on doing. It just kind of pop up while I'm doing a broadcast of the Bible study. It just comes out of the woodwork. Just like that. Well, our Pentagon is in bed with these guys. Sodomy, rape, sacrifice of human beings. People can't, you can't wrap your mind around what the, some of our leaders of our country and European, the ones involved in secret societies are doing. Family, I'm not going to get in detail what I'm going to tell you here in a second, but I'm just going to mention it. What's going on today, Putin doing this, World War III setting up, and all that silly nonsense and stuff going on, is all to keep you busy, keep you tied up and nervous, and others, 80% of the population, not even paying attention except what they read in the paper. So they assume it's true. See, those of you listening now, you're already ahead of the thing. I know. You wouldn't be listening if you weren't. Because some of the things we talk about are way out there. But it's all true. 90% of America's population, for example, depend on the news. They get their 15 minutes, and that's it. And they become experts at the water fountain at work. They start discussing on what Putin's going to do, and the dollar's going to crash. You better get your gold. That's what they got the lies wrapped around. They don't see the bigger picture at all. So when you take them another trip and you start talking about the conspiracy, and then you start getting supernatural about it, they're gone. They don't want to talk anymore. Matter of fact, when you walk up to the water fountain, don't you notice they just kind of scatter? There it comes again. Let's get out of here. All right. Because you know why? When you mention God, when you mention the supernatural, when you mention Jesus Christ, it is supernatural. You know why? And here's the point. Finally. The Holy Spirit convicts their soul. Holy Spirit's given them an opportunity, and they reject it and run away. You want supernatural? You got it. That's it. You see. Now, we're talking now kind of supernatural stuff, but let's... I can see we'll start talking about this again tomorrow night, too. For sure. Because there's, see where this is headed. You got succubuses. You've got demons that actually attack women in bed. It's the truth. Scratch, rape, supernatural forces. Now, if that's too much for you to handle, I'm sorry, but it's true. They see shadow people. Those are demons, nothing more than demons. Stick people, the kids with the black eyes, or demons can take different shapes. And you got to wonder, why am I being approached by these demonic entities? I do a lot of praying, a lot of fasting. You're being targeted for some reason. There's a reason somewhere, maybe in your background, your family, or something you did, or maybe you're powerful in God's army, and Satan is starting to shift you to see if he can pull you away because you're powerful in your spirit. He knows that. He knows who he has and who he doesn't. If you're powerful in God's army, he could come after you. That's why you got to plead the blood of Jesus around you. Satan has seven high-ranking principalities of hell as taught to witches. I don't trust a lot of the... It's just me. Do what you all want. But just for me. Only me. I don't trust a lot of so-called truth tellers. Especially the international ones. Although... I ate the chicken, spit out the bones. So I know there's truth going to come out of them. 80%, 90% truth. Because they're told to, they're required to. So that's why I get 3+ sources. Always more than 3. For any kind of what I think is a determination. Several famous truth tellers, former witches or whatever, warlocks, international scene. One of them in particular says, quote, "Thus it is with great hesitancy that I'll list the 7 high-ranking major principalities of hell that are taught to witches." He says, "I do feel that in order to give you a clear understanding of possessions, who causes them and why, they, the demonic beings, must be listed. Of which with him I agree. The first one is Reg. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Reg, R-E-G-E. He's a general of the occult. He deals with drugs, marijuana, hashish, cocaine, speed, LSD, peyote, masculine. The Indians used some of these things, to peace pipes, sweat lodges for seeing the spirits. Could tell who's lying, who's not, peace pipes. These are drugs of sorcery, alchemy. They attack the mind and open it up for a demon to enter. That's what they're for. So to get you to take marijuana, you know what they're doing? They put professional articles out that it cures cancer and does all this and all that and so forth and so on. It's a miracle drug, and I mean the natural and all this. And then they make it illegal. So if they make it illegal, you can't use it, but it cures cancer. Then it must be true. You see how they do it? So they take it away from you so you'll want it, waiting for the day that they'll, oh, shucks, okay, we'll legalize it. Okay. Everybody going to run to it. They got stores already in California places. I'll take that flavor up there, man. Oh, yeah, man. It's Cheech and Chong, man. You see that? Oh, yeah. Oh, groovy. Now let's go study philosophy. I can understand it now. Oh, yeah. And that logic course, it's a breeze. Oh, yeah. Oh, brother. be a lot of A's in philosophy after that is done. Chuckle, chuckle. Of course, my day is moonshine. It just makes you stupid. Gives you a headache. I never did the marijuana thing. I'd go to the parties. I didn't care. I just didn't like the drug stuff. I just drank the moonshine. Heck, it wasn't any better. They wouldn't drink the moonshine, though, I had from Mount Airy. Tom, I said, what? Stuff will make you blind. I can still see you. Anyway. Terrible. I quit those days. It's just as bad, though. Same thing. Reggie? I'm not sure. Attack the mind and open up for a demon to enter. And each one has a different demon. When the demon enters in the body, it has a certain frequency. Frequency of lust, frequency of homosexuality, frequency of anger, rage. Now I'm going to talk about, I don't know if I get to it tonight, probably tomorrow, about the differences between the body and the spirit, and the demon's desire expression, and we'll talk about man is the prized possession of demons, who Satan really is, and the different demon spirits, tragedy of being ignorance, of not knowing, and we'll talk about manifestations of demons and how demons talk. Demons are intelligent and they resist surrendering. They cause insanity. That's what psychology was designed for, to hide the possession of demons into a psychological malady of some sort so you never could bring them out. Oh, they're crazy? Oh, yeah, well, they're crazy because they have a schizophrenic reaction to... No, they got a demon in there, sucker. And the way to get them out is by spiritual warfare and fasting. Now you're going to cure them. No, we're going to give them some drugs so we'll bring some more demons in. Aha! There you go. That's exactly what happens. People don't realize this. It's all supernatural. The opening of one's mind to higher levels of consciousness is critical. Taking Jesus Christ as your Savior with the Holy Spirit inside you is what's critical. The second principality is L-A-R-Z, Larz. So Reg is drugs, marijuana, hashish, cocaine, speed, etc. Bath salts. Each one brings a different demon. Second principality is L-A-R-Z. The demon of sexual lust, homosexuality, bisexuality, adultery. You know, on the, is it the Facebook or one of those internet social networks, whatever, Google or Facebook, I forgot. I think it's Facebook. Family, they got like 48, whatever, different genders. Whatever happened to boy, girl? 58. How? I couldn't believe it. So many combinations of genders. How do they do that? Anyway. What gender are you? But girl, that shouldn't be a problem. Really? Apparently today it is. Our daily news is filled up with sex and sexual perversions, and the communists, the Illuminati, the ones in our country, out of our country, whatever, are using sex, which is a powerful, powerful influence. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pornography, both hardcore. Oh, and softcore. Hey, by the way, I watched a news today, a news report about a young girl in Duke University that is pornography by night and student by day and lies to her parents about it. So they got a woman on there that's the interviewer, and she starts talking, says, well, you know, this is, yeah, she's, a, you know, a porn star at night. She goes to Duke University, and in daytime she goes to university. Nighttime she, you know, goes through pornography sessions or whatever. And I could bring you on a whole lot of people to talk about that. I'm not going to go into that, naturally. And so, but we do have with us a guest that's going to talk about the other side of the pornography. I just happen to have a guest. How about that? And so this guest they had talking supported the pornography. That she's standing up, being her own person. Yeah, boy, they're sneaky. Ain't that something? And they both support pornography. That was today. It's called predictive programming. And I talked about that earlier today in my broadcast. It's predictive programming. Putting pornography in a good light. Subliminally. Make it look like, oh, it's terrible, but we have someone here that can tell you that has a different view of it. Because I got all these others that would tell how bad it is. But I got someone else to tell you another aspect of it. Is supporting it. Yeah. Man, I tell you, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. And they go into it. Applaud her for individualism, and here we go. Oh, it's terrible. She lies to her parents about it. But she does her own thing. You see, it's all new age. Man, you got council committeemen, you got generals, colonels, you got congressmen, council members, preachers, you know, deacons, you know, does his deacon thing on Sundays and goes home and beats his wife. I mean, you got, Lordy mercy, oh my goodness gracious alive. TV airwaves are absolutely full of movies and sitcoms that liberally use sex to entice people to watch. Prisons are full of people convicted of all sorts of sexual crimes, from rape to a child molestation. Adult only. Oh, I know when I was in high school, when I was here in Mount Airy, they had the fair. Carnival would come to town. Back in the days, it's the 60s, mid to late 60s, they had the real carnivals, you understand? So back in the way back, you know, it was a hoochie-coochie thing. I mean, real hoochie-coochie. It's like, you know, it wasn't your, of course they quit doing that like 15 years later, but. So we as teenagers and football players, we'd sneak in from the back and sneak in and go into the tent. Boy, what you doing here? All right, go on in. Don't tell nobody. Go on in. Jeez. Oh, boy. LARZ's Lars is enjoying greater success in America than ever in the nation's history. One of the greatest American successes was the legitimizing, making legit the homosexuality and bisexuality. They know what they're doing. ACLU goes in, preps it. You see, the trick, I'm going to tell you the trick. The trick is, if they get enough states to change their laws to support a sin like homosexuality, or it could be adultery. Hey, it's okay. Y'all just have adultery in this North Carolina. You're now, it is, adultery is a good thing, and you make a law of it. Whatever it is. You know, whatever sin it is. God watches that. As long as the laws support the Bible, that gives people the opportunity to change. You see how it works? And so when they change the laws, that's a horse of a different color. God set up governments to prevent anarchy. Chuck Baldwin is wrong. Romans 13, all governments are ordained by God. And sometimes God will put a despotic government over a people for correction or punishment. And man's not going to replace it. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes in. How come they don't have that out? They don't. What's preachers doing speaking about politics on the pulpit anyway? They have no business speaking politics on the pulpit. It should be speaking about Jesus Christ. Then stop calling yourself a preacher. Stop lying to people. Well, Tom, they're evil government. It's our responsibility. Who are you going to replace it with? Ron Paul is a Rosicrucian. You don't have anybody. Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other. Besides, we never won our freedom anyway. We never won a Revolutionary War. We lost that war. And bad, too. They lied to you in the history books. It's not true. We didn't win. We lost horribly. Of course, now they're telling us that because they want us to know it. And I'll tell you why they want us to know it. I'm going to take a step further. So you lose your sovereignty and patriotism and all that sort of thing. So now you'll embrace the New World Order. See, that's now why they are telling you, oh, you've never won the Civil War. You never won the Revolutionary War, sovereign citizen, all that. They're letting you know that now. So you see the weakness in the government. That's a dialectic. You see how tricky they are? And then when you have that weakness in the government, my government's so corrupt. Ah, but we have something for you better. Or do you? Uh-huh. It's called world peace. And what's that? Well, we all come together as one family. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Yep. Only Jesus is the one. Lars is a principality. Alcohol, drugs, wild sects of all kinds all serve the same purpose. There's a woman I read today that was nursing, breastwise, with a doggy. There's a woman in New Zealand that was nursing a calf. You know, that's a sheep. That's a calf. That's a sheep. Family, something's wrong with this world. You see what they're doing? And they make sure that's printed in the news. Yeah. We're getting there. Ho, are we ever. So I keep track of these things. I got people sending me all kinds of stuff. But I go through it and find a pattern. I know I need to start sending out those newsletters. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a program with that. I'm going to do it. And show some of my people and get back sending out the newsletters. I got stopped when I took my site down. I've been trying to figure out how to, you know, do it easily, but I'm going to start sending out those newsletters. Start informing people the details. Once again. You know, sex is very critical to witchcraft. It's fulfillment of Romans 1, 25 to 29. Especially verse 25, where people are worshiping the creature, sex, rather than the creator. Paul even talks about there in verses 26 to 29 that this perversion of 26 to 29, Romans 1, 26 to 29, that the perversion of true worship results in all kinds of uncleanness and sexual perversity. And again, obsession with sex is throughout our society. I'm not innocent at all. I've let you all know because I knew I had to talk about these things. Because I've done them. I've been there. Not, you know, married three times, so I had a past. I got a past. So I can't talk about this, and I didn't feel good conscience to talk about it and not let y'all know that I've been there too. I didn't want anybody to get the idea that I thought I was self-righteous or whatever, so I just, that's just my choice. And so I pretty much laid my life out on the air without names, of course. But I've been there, and I've done it. And then you start thinking about what you did, but then you say, wait a minute, hold on a minute. You say, Jesus forgave me. That's Satan trying to bring it back again. Just don't do it anymore. Satan will try to hold you down, say, look what you did. He'll never save you. You killed those people over in Iraq, or look what you did to that person there. What about that person there? And look at the lies you did. You don't deserve it. And he'll talk through other people. There's an influence that's called overshadowing and channeling that sometimes people don't know they're doing it. That's when they convict you and say, oh, you're just stupid. You're just rah, 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 rah. That's Satan talking. Just like Peter was talking to Jesus. We're not going to let him take you, Jesus. We're going to stop and we're going to fight. And Jesus turned right around, looked him square in the face, said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan inside of Peter. Because Peter, man, the Holy Spirit's moving tonight. Man, let me tell you, Peter, in his anger and his desire to want to go out and do something he wanted to do and fight and do all that stuff, opened a portal, allowing Satan to come inside. And Jesus saw right through that. Now, Peter didn't understand. It's like, whoa, you talking to me? He's looking around. You talking to me? It's Peter here. Jesus, come on now. No, he's talking to Satan inside of him. It's Lars, L-A-R-Z. The third principality is Bacchus, B-A-C-C-H-U-S. Wait a minute. Tobacco. Oh, no. What do you think? Tobacco? Bacchus? Is that a stretch? I don't know. I know Reynolds is Illuminati. One of the 13 tribes on the outside, Illuminati. Reynolds Tobacco, Reynolds Aluminum. They made it to cause cancer. That was the purpose of tobacco all in from the beginning. Oh, yeah, no doubt. They put chemicals in there to make sure people became addicted to it. Did you know that in the 1860s, when Coca-Cola was invented, Coca-Cola, it had cocaine in it? Yeah, buddy, it sure did. Always refreshing. It's like the power drink of the day. What's the jingle? I forgot. The jingle is, I can't remember the jingle for it off the top of my head. Something about stimulating. And then, when was it, 80s, 1980s, 70s, 1980s? They took the cocaine out. It's kind of flat. I don't like, people say, I don't like the taste of this Coke now. It's terrible. Yeah. Yeah, they took the cocaine out. It didn't have that stimulant in there anymore. You didn't get your free shot of cocaine, man. That's what Coca-Cola had in it, was cocaine to get people addicted to it. And that's one of the causes of obesity, is the Diet Cokes and all that. Satan knows what he's doing. I'm not going over the edge. This is how it works. The demon of addictions, drugs, smoking, alcohol, he loves to capture a person, some sort of addiction. Satan does. You say, wait, Satan gets, there's 4 billion people. How does Satan do that? Well, you see, these billions, we'll talk about tomorrow night. Yeah. Billions of these demons, there's billions of them, which are the former Nephilim of the Old Testament. disembodied spirits are the demons today. Yeah. Anyway. And they want that body. And they'll talk about that tomorrow night. Want that body, yeah. Anyway, so. But they like to set up some addiction. Whatever it is. Bacchus works to achieve the New World Order. A literal plague of addictions. All kinds. Could be anything. So that demon matches the frequency of that principality. Okay, now you got it? Each principality will have a different vibration. So how does Satan know all this? Because they're all connected in a cloud. They have different assignments, different abilities. They're intelligent, these demons. Different ranking structure. It's organized. There's a plague of these type of addictions. And yes, Reggie, Bacchus. What's Reggie? The principality of Reggie. Marijuana, hashish, and so forth. Can work together with Bacchus. And the demons assigned can do work closely together to maximize respective areas of responsibility. They and their army of demons. So if you've got this one individual that's a sex addict, Lars, demons would work with Bacchus. Oh, now you see. By trial and error, Satan will find the weakness of that individual to assign the demons. You would not believe if you had a pair of glasses, special glasses, like in that movie They or whatever it is, and you put the glasses on, and you're able to see demons, man, you would have a heart attack. That's why God keeps them now, keeps them invisible. That's why he keeps angels invisible from their glorified state to their spiritual state. You'd worship the angel, would you not? Yeah. And they do anyway now. Called fallen angels, by the way. If you saw that angel, you're like, whoa, but you're over the angels, but not yet. You haven't passed the test. But God still works through you when you're born again. And tonight, last one we're going to talk about is Pan, P-A-N. I know you've heard of him. And notice a lot of these are actually mythological gods. That's how they hid it. By mythology. But they were real. Before it was gods, it was Nephilim, all angels. Then to hide it, they called them mythology. We're Apollo. We're gods. That's what they were. They were real. That's the hierarchy we're talking about. In Greek mythology, it's not mythology at all. All through school, you were learning about the Nephilim. You were learning about the fallen angels and didn't even know it. And now, through the 17th century, 18th century, they were spirits. They were angels. Swedenborg talks about it. Because they're between mythology, facade, and aliens, which they didn't know about in the 18th century, 1700s. So they called them spirits or angels on earth. So now in 1897, watch this, watch. War of the Worlds novel by H.G. Wells, Freemason, set up the notion that there's extraterrestrials, and that began the next masquerade. The same fallen angels all through the history of man to now come to you. Oh, this is coming down. Coming to you as aliens for some and ascended masters for others, but they're the same. Because we're mythological gods. I read about that in school. You can't be. We're angels. You really got angels? Oh, we're God's Apollo. You see, they can't do that now because they've only depends on the culture of man and where they come to them so they'd be believable. Wow. That's how it's been done. And so now they're coming to us as aliens, all set up. John Dewey, extraterrestrial menace, extraterrestrial hoax. Do you know that Orson Welles' broadcast was a test put on by Princeton University, funded by the Rockefeller Foundation? War of the Worlds broadcast, October 1938. That was a test of a psychological warfare experiment that was done by the Rockefeller Foundation to see if mankind, if Americans would believe in extraterrestrial menace. And Roswell was set up. 1945, here we go. The actual UFOs were the fallen angels themselves. The dragons of old were manifested through shift changing and what have you by the fallen angels. That's where you get your creatures and all this nonsense. Actually took those shapes. They can manipulate their bodies by their different DNA. That's how it worked. Not imagination. Real thing. Well, they were the UFOs. That's how they could go. Well, this Air Force pilot in 1957 is going like, it's going 3,000 miles per hour. I couldn't believe it. And it did a right-hand turn. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, it was a fallen angel that took that shape. That's why they can go so fast and make right-hand turns. They're not physical. They're fallen angels in that shape. Now they got Stromium barium niobate and 3D holographic images. And you see what they're doing? Oh, boy. And the voice-to-skull technology I talked about today. I haven't broken on them yet. But what I'm going to break on to, and I'll give you all knowledge of it, is when Maitreya, as listed by Benjamin Krem, when they have the day of declaration, and disclosure, bringing the alien race to mankind and all that. This one called Maitreya, he is the Antichrist. It's not the Pope, it's not Obama. But this one called Maitreya will speak to the world in their own languages, in their head. Now, can you imagine all those fundamental Christians that don't know about what we're talking about? All those Catholics don't have a clue? And this Maitreya starts talking in their head through voice-to-skull technology. They won't know that. They'll think it's real. And all it is voice-to-skull technology through HARP, ELF transmission, microchips that they breathe in through nanobot technology. That's how they're going to do it. Supernatural whiz-bang smoke and technological mirrors, or whatever. Many would be fooled, even the very elect, if that was possible. Pan, I'll finish up here, is a demon of the mind. He causes mental illnesses, depression, suicide, nerves, and rejection. When a person becomes depressed, and remember what I said today and what the articles I gave you today and the research, that they can cause you to be depressed by ELF transmission. Well, a demon can cause you to be depressed by the same method, changing the frequency, vibration, and rate. What they'll do is they'll turn to drugs or something else and will eventually become addictive. One demon will cause you to do it to another. How about that? Pan calls you to become depressed. P-A-N. So you go to Reggie, the demon of the occult and drugs. He in turn sends you to Bacchus, the demon of addiction. And they'll put demons with you. That's when you have a legion of demons. There you go. It's all one big circle. I'd say that Dr. Kevorkian is knowingly in league with Pan, wouldn't you say? And how about in Oregon, where Jerry Boykin is going? A Knights of Malta? Oregon will be the leader for child euthanasia, whereas Belgium will be in Europe. Look it up. The states that's going to allow a child to kill themselves. International rights of the child will take the right of the parent to stop them. You won't have the right to stop them. If the child elects to kill themselves because of one reason or another, international rights of the child will not allow you to stop your child from killing themselves. They're sneaking up on you. I've talked about this over and over and over. These secret societies are the ones to blame. The ones you think are on your side are not on your side. This cooperation between the various demonic leaders, their assignments to demons, strikes a chord in America today. We got more than one addiction. Family, we're at the end of the program. We're already there. Whoa. Okay. So I got to go over what I've said I'll talk about tomorrow and Friday. So, family, y'all have a great night. And we'll complete this up tomorrow. I'm learning a lot tonight. I learn as I go along. You know, I mean, things just come popping out every now and then. It's like, whoa. I didn't think about that before. So, all right. You all have a great night. And I'll put these up on the website tonight. I'll put them up tonight, both the broadcast and Bible study. And download it. And any questions, there you go. I appreciate y'all coming by. And let's close. Lord, thank you tonight for being able to come together. Thank you tonight for leading us, your Holy Spirit, in this Bible study. Father, open up our minds, our hearts, and give us that knowledge we need to be able to fight with the spiritual battle that's coming, Lord, that this is all practice. Father, we pray for our family members, that, Lord, you give us that help and keep the interruptions back and bless them. Father, to bless the next broadcast and Bible studies and Father, to touch people with these, what we talk about, that people see about Jesus Christ, and Lord, to be a conversion. These things we pray, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, there you are, family. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and I want to remind you all that we're Bible studies and our broadcasts are played up at highpointradio.net in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. By John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. His email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And he is focusing on his radio network. He's building a tower every month, thanks to the increase of support is getting up there. And he plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly. That's what he does. Also, KBLU Radio. KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, does the simulcasting. And my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And I'm going to put up a study on HPV that I've done, and I'm going to lay that out there, another study. And I got a very simple website. I use it mainly for the broadcast, but I put studies up there and newsletters, but I haven't done it in a while. So I'll start putting some more stuff up there. And I got a Facebook you can visit. Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And also, when you come in on the broadcast 4 to 6, start off, if you would, or don't have to, you know what you want, but if you could, start off on TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com. And just click my, well, put Thomas Gamble in the search, and when it pops up, you just click it, and it'll bring you to the website like you did already. Because I got them to put me up there so I can draw more attention, I guess. That'd work. So y'all have a great night. Thank you for dropping by. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 to 6. So this is the Watchman for Jesus signing off. Good night and God bless.
Shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I ever had just melted into peace.
Good night, God bless, and see y'all tomorrow. Y'all come back now here. Good night.